For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Baby,
it's a little after 5 o'clock on a Friday, and it's not just any Friday. It's the Friday where the Mets are playing game number 5 against the Dodgers. It's the Friday where the New York Yankees are trying to take a 3-1 commanding lead over the Cleveland Guardians. It's the football Friday before the return of Saquon Barkley, and of course the Jets against the Steelers. But I would not be fair or balanced or nice if I didn't remind you that tonight the New York Liberty have a chance to win the WNBA championship. And they better win tonight, Teak, because if they don't, a winner-take-all Game 5 would get completely swallowed up because it would be 8 o'clock on Sunday night.
Oh, yeah.
With the Jets going on and hopefully the Mets going on.
Not a 3 p.m. game?
I saw 8 o'clock Sunday night.
Wow. They can change that, right? Can they?
They should change that. Because that's a great 3 o'clock game, a winner-take-all game 5.
A lot of people would watch it, at least those that care about the Liberty and the Lynx. But, burying it at Sunday night it's death. especially given the team that are playing on Sunday night, because Pittsburgh has this massive fan base.
I know.
It's not just Pittsburgh. It's everywhere because of their success in the 70s and stuff. So, That's just bad foresight.
Well, you would have the L.A. market, the Steeler fan base, and two portions of the New York market gone.
I do have good news. I have great news.
The Liberty are winning tonight, fellas.
That's right. That's a good point.
Now, the football situation. Let's get down to it. Before we rip Saquon Barkley and get into the booing, this is personal for Giant fans. Can they beat the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday?
Can they? Yeah. If the Philadelphia Eagles play poorly, Eagles... have turnovers. And Jalen Hurts, outside of Will Levis, who's in the game that I'm calling today or on Sunday in Buffalo with the Tennessee Titans, is leading the league in turnovers with 10. The second place turnover leaders are both in the NFC East, and it's not Daniel Jones as much as people think that he stinks. It's actually Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts.
Yeah,
and so they're going to get opportunities because of how poorly the Eagles have played and executed at times this year. With that being said, there have been moments where the Eagles look like they're the best team in football.
Yeah.
And so it's can they win? Sure. But they're going to have to play flawlessly.
And the Eagles, a little while ago, placed their left tackle, Jordan Mailata, on injured reserve as well, Tiki. And their left tackle situation backing up has been a problem.
Right.
I'm missing his name, the guy who's backing up a tackle. But apparently every time he's played, I believe Jalen Hurts has had a fumble in every single one of
those
games.
Huh.
Interesting little factoid there.
That is interesting.
So there, it's not just the Andrew Thomas problem with the Giants. It's going to be a major issue here for the Eagles as well. And this is going to be another game. I think Tiki would agree. It's about Burns. It's about Dex, and probably more importantly about Saquon Barkley not crushing them on the run, because the last few teams the Giants have played have abandoned the run, so to speak.
Fred Johnson is the backup left tackle who will be playing. He's a free agent in 2022. So, yeah. Look, so much of it depends on protecting Daniel Jones and executing with Daniel Jones. And the good thing is, Giant fans, this is not a primetime game. So
nice 1 o'clock burial.
Exactly. It's a good chance Daniel plays pretty damn good. 4 o'clock game in Seattle, he played pretty damn good. It's these primetime ones where he's just not showing up for whatever reason. So you're right, Sean. It's about execution. It's about not making mistakes. But it's really about making the Eagles turn into who everybody thinks the Eagles are. The challenge with the Eagles is they got some studs that are still playing. Saquon obviously being one of them, but A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith are just, they're two of the best in the league. And so if they have a field day on a young secondary, then that's when the Giants get in trouble.
Yeah, and Adoree Jackson's not going to play in this game with a neck injury. Yep. And also Philly's third best pass catcher, Dallas Goedert, looks like he's out as well. Now, I know Evan wants us, Tiki, to make some Saquon Barkley statistical predictions.
Oh, I got mine written down.
Which we will in a second, but I do think I have some other Saquon predictions that it's time to get to a Cinco de Fivo.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. Tiki, Evan, Loogie, here are the five likely Saquon Barkley moments on Sunday. You ready?
Okay.
Here we go.
Number five.
Saquon Barkley simply scores a touchdown.
Yeah.
Nice little touchdown. How the crowd reacts, I'm sure, with boos. But I think we could all see him getting in the end zone, right?
I would say that's like a relatively likely scenario.
Okay.
Almost.
I would agree.
Okay. Here we go.
Number four.
Saquon Barkley scores two touchdowns.
God.
Now that starts to happen, there'll be real boos when it rained down. And we won't be able to tell who's getting booed, by the way.
If Saquon Barkley scores a touchdown, the New York Giants can still win the football game.
Uh-huh.
If Saquon Barkley scores two touchdowns, you are losing said football game.
Mm. We'll see. We'll see.
Okay, I'm just saying, that's my predict, but go ahead.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
Saquon Barkley fumbles and cheers rain down at MetLife.
Oh, hell yeah.
I love it.
And yeah, but when he fumbles, are the Giants going to recover it?
Well, right. Not if Jason Pinnock is the closest one to the football. Anybody else, I think they will. And it is worth noting, Saquon Barkley, as we know from Tiki's Dead to His comments, pays attention to every little thing, checks every little mention. He observes Twitter more than Kevin Durant and myself. So if he starts hearing boos, maybe a fumble's possible. All right, here we go.
Number two.
As we've seen plenty in a Giant uniform, Saquon Barkley drops a pass that goes up in the air and is picked off on Sunday. Very much on the table. And last but not least.
Number one.
Tiki hit on this a couple years ago when he was a Giant. And it came to fruition Sunday versus Cleveland. Many weren't paying attention. Saquon Barkley will miss a pass protection assignment, leading to Jalen Hurts getting blown up and fumbling in this game. That's the most likely Saquon Barkley moment to happen Sunday at MetLife Stadium. And Giants fans, before we get to predictions and everything, I just want to tell you, I will be there. I will be representing the show there. I will be leading the boos. You better boo too and bring it, because as loser and as lower the bar this is our Super Bowl.
No, I don't think.
And that's Cinco de Fivo.
That's a good Cinco. That was actually one of your best Cincos. I like that. The five most likeliest scenarios. I think that the most appealing scenario, obviously you want the Giants to win. And that's the end all be all. Like if I told you right now Saquon's actually going to have a big game on the ground, he's not going to make any mistakes, but the Giants are going to win, you would sign for that over Saquon having a mistake-riddled day and the Giants losing 9-6.
Oh, right? That'd be even more frustrating.
Right. I mean, you want to win. It doesn't matter what Saquon Barkley does. But him putting the football on the ground in a big spot, oh, my God.
Doesn't he fumble a lot?
Isn't that what adds to it, though, Deke?
Yeah, I mean, if he did, but it's just not, you're not going to predict that's going to happen. One touchdown, two touchdowns, maybe. You know, missing a pass, you know, blocking assignment, possibly. Dropping a pass that's thrown to him by Jalen Hurts and tipping it up in the air, maybe. But I don't think he's fumbling. What? I just don't. He just doesn't fumble.
So, Tiki, you would admit, though, and obviously you get the call games, you're going to be doing the Bills and Titans Sunday, the newer athlete is clearly different than when you played. And it does feel like, and I'll say it, that Saquon Barkley gets ultra-sensitive and knows everything that's going on.
Well, he cares what people say about him.
Right.
You're dead to me.
But if he has 80,000 people booing him, don't you think that could get in his head in a big way on Sunday?
No, because honestly, when I'd go to Philly and they would boo me, I loved it. It actually motivates
you're Tiki, though, bro.
Yes, you're Tiki Barber.
You're not giving yourself enough credit because, and I've seen this only from afar. Obviously, you've lived it. There are certain athletes, I'm making a generalization watching, that you could tell relishes when you boo them. You boo them, they get better. It's almost like a turn-on. Like, yeah, boo me. Say whatever you want. I'm going to stick it down your throat even worse. And then there are others that are just intimidated by.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, it gets to them. Chance will get to them. They can be rattled. They can be affected. You have clearly shown, and you know, you can give us the reason on why, that stuff never bothered you. The criticism of New York didn't even bother you. You were able to, like, smile and be like, all right, whatever, and you got better. There is a vibe, maybe we're wrong, but there is a vibe that Saquon Barkley doesn't handle that nearly as well. And if he hears it from Giant fans, that while it wouldn't have affected you, it may affect him.
I think the only reason I would consider it affecting him is because of how he is talking about his return to New York.
Right.
How he thinks that the Giant fans are not or don't care anymore. And I guess maybe when you go down to Philly and it's like you're surrounded by sycophants who believe in everything that you say and do, and you've had a little bit of success so far this season, which he has, by the way. I mean, he's got almost 500 yards rushing through six games, and so he's on pace for a pretty big season for the Philadelphia Eagles. But you're just not aware of what's happening here, and or maybe not listening closely enough to what's happening here. But he'll find out. And, you know, again, I think it's going to be a vocal minority. I don't think everybody's going to boo Saquon, but I do think it's going to feel like he's getting booed by everybody.
The problem with booing, and I think that I'm going to run into this in the stands, is that, look, if it's the NBA and it's every time a guy hits a shot, you boo him, or hockey when the guy takes the ice, you boo him.
It's
or,
tougher to boo in football.
Baseball, they step up to the plate, they boo him. I guess I'm going to try to take the lead on every time I hear the PA announcer announce his name that he's touched the ball. That's when I'm booing. But that is hard to keep up for four quarters, too.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, football is so different in terms of that. Like, baseball is kind of easy. A guy's announced, you boo him. Basketball, you mentioned, ball's in a guy's hands, you boo him. I think it's going to be very different on how you can actually attack that at a game like this.
It's also going to be different because, again, I said this earlier this week. A lot of people, this is their favorite player.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them have jumped on the fact that he's now an Eagle, but a lot of people aren't. Like, they're fantasy football players. They don't care necessarily. Hell, he's on my fantasy football team. But and so you don't necessarily hate him. Right. You hate that he's an Eagle. It's two different things, even though the result could be exactly the same.
No question. By the way, Mets and Dodgers are underway. They're scoreless. David Peterson did an incredible job. He put himself into a second and third nobody out jam to start the game and got out of it without allowing a run.
Sounds like what he did against the Yankees.
Yeah, and I'm more impressed not by David Peterson, but by me. You didn't hear any grunts. You didn't hear any reactions. I'm playing it like a freaking poker face. So you're welcome.
Yeah, you definitely remembered Cinco, too, for sure.
I completely forgot about Cinco de Mayo.
100%.
That I forgot about. But you know what?
Was money bringing it back, Sean.
That's why Sean gets paid the big bucks. But I also was writing something down that we are going to do right now. And if you've ever listened to Evan and Tiki, when we make predictions, we don't just put it in the air and then forget about it. We make predictions, and then we hold ourselves accountable. So on Monday, at exactly 4:30, so it's after we talk to Joe Beningo, Monday at 4:30, we will listen back to our official Saquon Barkley predictions with the results and see how we did. So we will pay it off. But right now on a Friday at 5:20, it's Saquon prediction time. So let's start it off with Tommy Lugauer.
Okay, so I'm going to go 20 carries for 70 yards. He will add four catches for 40 yards, and he will score the first touchdown of the game.
There you go. 20 for 70, 4 for 40, and he will be the first scorer of a touchdown, which is prompting people to go on FanDuel so they can bet that.
Which I'm sure he's the betting favorite to do that, but I think Saquon will score the rushing touchdown, first touchdown of the game.
Okay. Mm. That is now official. Sean Morash.
18 carries, 78 yards, 3 catches, 26 yards. He does get in the end zone. But the Giants will win because Saquon Barkley has dropped an enormous third down pass that could potentially ice the game, giving the Giants the ball back to go down and win it.
He's going to Evan Ingram the situation.
He will.
Mm. Or Saquon Barkley the situation like he did earlier.
The Giants will win Sunday. Spoiler, we'll get to our picks in a little bit. And we will walk away going, can you believe if Saquon catches that ball, they lose the game?
Very interesting. Now, let me give you my predictions because Tiki's the main event in this whole thing. I'm going to go with something that's a little different. I think that Nick Sirianni is an emotional guy. And I think Nick Sirianni is also a guy who holds grudges.
Grudges,
right?
Yes.
That was the word I was looking for, grudges. I think Saquon Barkley is actually going to get 28 carries in this game for 107 yards. I think they are going to feed him like it's nobody's business. And by the way, that may not necessarily be the worst strategy in the world, but I think Saquon Barkley will have a season high in carries, that number being 28. He'll end up with 107 yards. He will not score a touchdown, okay? Zero touchdowns. Hmm. He'll have 2 catches for 9 yards, so will not make an impact. And Tiki Barber's wrong about something. Saquon Barkley's putting the freaking football on the ground, baby.
Let's go. He will fumble.
It will be recovered by the Giants.
Oh.
28 carries, 107 yards, 2 catches for 9 yards, and a fumble.
Huh? What up?
Nice.
Tiki Barber, the man who controversially and was serious, had no joking bones in his body when he uttered the phrase,
"You're dead to me.
You're dead to me." Perfectly queued up, Tommy. Tiki, your predictions.
23 carries, 83 yards. Ooh. 1 rushing touchdown of less than 4 yards and a receiving touchdown on 4 catches. So 2 touchdowns, 4 catches for, let's say, 26 yards.
Hmm. That Got smells it. Like somebody with Saquon on the fantasy team.
Wait a second. As the Giant, you are the Giant, Tiki Barber. You yep. are the face of this franchise, uh-huh. especially when you told Saquon Barkley so eloquently,
yes. "You're dead to me."
That you're dead to me.
Doesn't mean he's not good.
No, but that's not my question. He is good. You're right. Are you kind of rooting for him to put up some fantasy numbers for you?
No, okay. Not at all. I want to be dead wrong about
a lot of dead.
I think they're still winning, by the way.
You think who's winning, the Giants or the
Giants?
You think they're winning? Look at you. Pick them to win.
I think the Giants are exploding because I think Daniel Jones has been listening to us on WFAN, mm-hmm. telling you he thinks too damn much. So just throw the ball, Daniel. Stop thinking. Use your instincts. Play some backyard football. Stop being a robot. Nobody likes a robot. Right? You grow out of them after you're 5 years old.
Unless it's a wild robot, Tiki.
Unless it's a wild robot.
But
that's right.
But you're forgetting something. What's and I that? Mean this with all due respect to you, Tiki. The Giants are playing at MetLife Stadium. And Daniel Jones cannot perform at MetLife Stadium.
Yeah. Well, but he's got to outshine his guy, Saquon. Right, they still talk. Remember,
and there's a shiny new toy returning for the Giants.
Over under 18 catches.
That's actually good. More total yardage in this game, Saquon or Malik Nabers?
Malik Nabers.
Yeah, because I don't even think
it's close.
Not even close. Mm-hmm. And Tiki predicted 109 yards combined. If I add up the rushing and receiving that you predicted for Saquon?
That's correct.
So you're going with what, like 10 catches, $175?
Yeah. I think he's getting the ball thrown to him every other play.
Wait, so what's your official stat? I'm gonna include this in our stat predictions.
On Malik, I'm going to say 14 catches for 156 yards and a touchdown.
Jeez, man. You all right over there, Sean?
If you're to tell me that Saquon Barkley both fumbles a ball and Malik Nabers gets in the end zone, has 150 yards, yeah, I could Santa take back your Christmas.
I did one of their games. Trust me, I know what Dave's is thinking. If he's single covered, throw it to him.
Yeah.
I don't care if he's covered. Throw it to him.
Feed him. It's like, feed that man. Feed that man good.
I'm sorry, I'm distracted.
No. Pete Alonso hit a three-run home run, and the Mets are up 3-0.
Mm. Yes!
Go ahead, Evan. Scream
That's
and yell.
Right,
it's okay.
Pete!
It's all right.
My man! My dog! You wanted to bury him! Not you, Sean. You said he's a bad guy! You Who? Said he's a doofus! I don't know, I'm just excited.
Who's
Pete
pitching?
Alonso!
Who's pitching for the Dodgers again?
Jack Flaherty.
Oh,
remember, Flaherty. I told you.
That guy.
I need to say something in the moment.
Go ahead.
That is the final Pete Alonso home run at Citi Field.
Oh, come on.
Why are you doing that right now? He just hit a monstrous three-run home run again.
In all your
Yankees
gear, you look like such a hater, Sean.
I'm not trying to be a hater. I'm just pointing out something that we will not realize until it's over. That is likely his last home run at Citi Field.
Okay. He's going to hit another one today. What are you talking about?
Hold on. No. Alonso doesn't get to hit two home runs, but Neighbors only gets in the end zone once.
You know, Sean says things sometimes to be a troll. But when you give it thought and you give it reason, he's likely to be right. The Mets are playing their final home game unless they go to the World Series, unless they complete an epic 3-1 comeback, which could happen but is unlikely. So, and if he leaves as a free agent, which Sean knows will happen, especially if they sign Juan Soto, then it's likely that that would be his last time doing it.
And even if they do come back and mount this big comeback, there's no guarantee he hits one in any of the three games at Citi Field in the World Series.
No, you're right. You're right about that. What I'm happy about for Pete, and look, the Mets have a long way to go to win this game. It's 3-0. It's the first inning. Like, they can easily lose considering how many runs they've given up to L.A. What does make me feel good is that Pete Alonso, I'm actually going to cry when I say this. Uh-huh. Pete Alonso was a wonderful Met and is a wonderful Met. And this was a tough year. And it was easy for people to turn on him and bury him and rewrite what he meant to this franchise. And even if this thing ends today and Pete Alonso ends up in Chicago or Houston, I think he was at least able to right the wrongs of what people thought he was. And so for that, great work, Pete Alonso.
Yeah, he went out on his shield, which Damn is right. a phrase for Warriors. Like, he went out with, think about how many clutch postseason moments he's had in these last couple weeks. So even if this is it, and I don't think it is, and I don't think Evan think it is, he went out on a shield.
No question
you
about it.
You guys actually just made me feel horrible for saying that, because I could should. Evan's eyes have gotten red and puffy now, and now I just feel awkward.
You're being
here.
A douche, but it's rooted
I
in
really
some
wasn't.
Fact, because you're saying that he might not hit another homer even if they do go to the World Series, and you don't think he's going to sign in the offseason.
And again, that's a huge moment. The Mets should try everything they can to mount a comeback. Screw L.A., screw the Dodgers. The fans barely care, but it was just worth acknowledging in the moment that that could be it.
All right. Thank you very much. What a bad guy. Just made me cry on the radio.
Let's get the phone number out. Why don't we take a little break?
Look, he wants me. You think I'm crying? You think I have to take a break because I'm crying?
I think a little bit. Get a little water for yourself.
You know what? He's actually right. He saw me well. I need a tissue. Can you get one for me, Loogie? Thank you very much.
Here's a little paper towel.
We'll get into the Jets-Steeler game as well and their chances of winning a game that, yes, I'll deem it the most important Jet game they've played in 9 years. And if that sounds familiar, well, it is. Because it's true. And we'll get to more on the Yankee game as well. Evan and Tiki here. I'm crying. I can't get through a sentence.
This is pathetic.
What read do I have to do? That's not fair to make me do a read when I'm getting emotional.
Got
to
be a professional here. You got Short Town Fair and an H.L. Gross.
All right. We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I'm surprised how emotional I'm getting. It's all because of Sean. He put that thought in my head. In a little less than 2 hours, you'll get the Yankee pregame show. It's an 8:08 first pitch, game four of the American League Championship Series between the Cleveland Guardians and the New York Yankees. We'll spend a lot more time on the game as the show rolls on, including the lineup that's been announced, including how the pitching will be handled tonight, especially with the usage of the bullpen. So a lot of Yankee baseball to get to. We'll keep you posted on what's going on at Citi Field. The Mets are leading 3-0 on the L.A. Dodgers, trying to keep their season alive and force what would be a crazy Sunday in New York sports. Giants-Eagles, 1 o'clock, the return of Saquon Barkley. Jets-Steelers on Sunday night. And potentially, if the Mets can win, a Game 6 of the NLCS. Speaking of the Jets, and I own it, I'm going to stand up and admit it. I said on Monday, this is the most important Jet game they've played in 9 years. I stand by that. It was the most important game they've played in 9 years until Sunday night. Because now this game, Tiki and Sean, against the Pittsburgh Steelers, is the most important game they've played in 9 years.
Then I guess the Patriot game the week after will be as well.
Maybe. I can't answer that. Are we there yet?
No.
You're like my kids. You keep rushing to get an answer.
Well, because you have often said, until the next game. So I'm guessing we've hit that point in the Aaron Rodgers Jet era where every game becomes the biggest game the Jets have played in years.
I do think when you're sitting at 2-4 and you see a tiny soft pocket in your schedule, you mentioned the Patriot game, and you're facing a Steeler team that's on their own decided to create weird questions at the quarterback position. Like, yeah, it's a really freaking important game. 2-5 and 3-4, there's a huge difference in terms of this team making the playoffs or not. The Steelers are also a tiebreak contending team in terms of you may need that win against them if you're going to make the postseason. So the reality is the reality. Like, I know I said it Monday. I'm saying it again Friday. This is the most important game they've played in 9 years. And if you disagree with me, name a game more important.
Well, I mean, it's important because they need to win, obviously. But if you lose to Russell Wilson, I'm telling you, the memes and the jokes are coming out. Especially as bad as he's been the last
couple
of years.
Look at you laughing already. You're already laughing.
I'm not laughing. I can see it. I can see it if it happens. Is he confirmed yet, or is he still just taking first team reps?
So the latest on this quarterback situation, it's interesting, is that Mike Tomlin will not confirm who's starting.
Yeah.
He was asked earlier today, have you made a decision on a starter? And he said, I have, but I'm going to keep it in-house.
Mm-hmm.
So Tomlin hasn't said anything, but all indications are that decision is Russell Wilson, because even George Pickens made a comment, I guess it was yesterday or today, in which he said, I'm feeling good with Russ. Like, so basically, people know it's happening.
And Justin Fields even said, I should have played better. Right? He took the classy way. Right, or I could have played better, or something like that, that indicated that he was told he's not going to be starting this weekend.
But keep in mind, when we were in training camp before the Russell Wilson injury happened, Mike Tomlin was very open about playing both and having packages for Justin Fields in there while Russell
Wilson
played.
But what does that mean, though? He's not going to play both?
Well,
he could be in wildcat-like situations.
Justin Fields?
Yes. So he's not technically quarterbacking in that moment, but he is in there as a quarterback or a runner or something of that nature.
But that's very like having a package for Justin Fields is very different than saying, oh, he's going to play quarterback too. He's not. He's basically Taysom Hill. That's the way you'd be treating him if you're running a package here and there for him. The starter's Russell Wilson. That's what they're going to be doing.
There's a lot of teams that wish they had a Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
I'm being honest. And so, I mean, maybe that's why he was brought there in the first place. Because when you think about when we heard it in real time, back when Russ visited the Giants and then went to Pittsburgh and signed with the Steelers, it was like, man, they got Russ and Justin Fields. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
It's two quarterbacks who are ready to play, in theory, because Russ had spent his entire career as a starter, except for at the end when he got benched because of the health stuff, or the health guarantee. And Justin Fields has been a starter his whole time in Chicago. So why would you have two starting quarterbacks, neither one of whom are like done or washed? It's probably because they were trying to create some type of New Orleans Saints starting quarterback / Taysom Hill situation. So I do expect Justin Fields to be on the field as the starting quarterback per se. Maybe not, but I think you're going to see both of them.
What I don't understand is, like, I get that being the initial thought. Like, I get that creativity. But once you've gotten off to a good start and Justin Fields has played reasonably well.
Well, no, they've won 4 games, but they have not. He hasn't played great.
Right. I didn't say he played great. I said he's played reasonably well.
Which is probably why George Pickens jumped in and said he loves the way he's practiced with Russ this week.
But look, I'm not watching every snap of every Steeler game, but I'm not saying he's been great. I'm not saying he's an MVP or he's becoming a franchise quarterback. But when you're winning and your quarterback's making winning plays and at least contributing, I know the defense is the reason for it all. Right. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily make a quarterback change. I know that as a Jet fan, and I hate to jinx this, I know you could save the audio and make me feel like an ass, I'd rather face Russell Wilson than Justin Fields.
Of course you want to face Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson has not been this elite MVP quality quarterback for the last couple of years. And part of it's because he's gun shy to take big shots. Like, he doesn't want to push the ball downfield like he did when Tyler Lockett was one of his wide receivers or DK Metcalf. Like, he doesn't have that confidence ever since he left the Seattle Seahawks. And so he's turned into this shell, I'm going to hold on to the football, I'm going to, throw a check down type of quarterback that's not real, and he doesn't run. So at least with Justin Fields, he can screw around one moment and go 50 yards. So I think it is more appealing as a defense to face Russell Wilson because you know exactly what he's going to do.
I give Mike Tomlin a lot of credit. I don't think a lot of coaches would have the balls to do this. I really don't.
Not while you're winning. I agree.
Not while you're winning. Because that's the thing, while you're winning. And again, the reason I care so much about this is because the Jets are facing him. And I find the whole thing to be completely bizarre. Yeah. Now, look, this Jet defense is Jekyll and Hyde. There have been moments in which they remind you of that dominating defense we saw for a lot of a year ago. And then there are times in which they're getting called for horrible penalties, they're committing a ton of PIs, they're not getting a consistent pass rush, and God willing, they can't stop the run. So I'm at this point with the Jet defense where it's like, I'm not even sure who they really are.
Yeah, but all it takes is one big game, and maybe Russell Wilson plays into the Jets' hands to get their confidence back and get their swagger back with the pass rush, getting the turnovers, getting the mistakes. We spent the whole beginning of the show talking about whether the Guardians got any momentum. Maybe Russell Wilson playing for the Steelers is just the momentum the Jets' defense needs to turn this all around.
And then obviously the other big story around this game is Devontae Adams. I'm excited about it. I think all Jet fans are excited about it. But realistically, Teague, I know that they have a chemistry together because they've played together. But what can we reasonably expect from Devontae Adams in his first game with the Jets?
I think he'll be... It's interesting because I'm calling the Bills this weekend, and they also made a trade with a veteran wide receiver.
Is he playing, by the way, Amari Cooper?
He is playing.
Okay.
And you know, we were out at practice earlier today, and I'm broadcasting from their field house, which they didn't use today because it's 60 degrees and beautiful, so they practiced outside in the stadium.
It's 60 degrees in Buffalo right now?
It's gorgeous here today.
I thought it was 9 degrees outside all the time in that city.
Perfect fall day. They said once Halloween hits, then it turns to crap.
Gotcha.
It's like on cue. As soon as it hit Halloween 2 weeks from now, it'll be terrible. But anyways, I'm in the field house, and I hear somebody behind me. This is when I flip the other way. And it's Amari Cooper. He's out here, like, learning the route tree and, you know, going through it with a coach by himself. So he's out here grinding. I suspect that Devontae Adams is doing the same thing. Not because he doesn't know how to run, you know, a skinny post or whatever route you want to call. It's just it's the terminology. He's got to relearn terminology that he probably hasn't used with Aaron Rodgers in 5 years or 4 years. And so, is he going to play? Of course. How limited his participation will be dependent on how quickly he picks up what they're trying to do.
Okay, so I don't even know if this is true, because as much as I watch the Jets all the time, I'm not like you and Sean, who actually go back and rewatch games and look at the tape. Okay, so I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to say I watched the tape. I've only watched a little bit of tape. I haven't watched this tape. To me, a Jet game once is fine. Okay.
No, you watch all the Saints tape.
Right. I watched the Saints tape earlier this season. But as a diehard Jet fan, one time is enough, okay? I need to see it 18 times. Aaron Rodgers has claimed, more times than not, Garrett Wilson is seeing a lot of double teams. Has he? And is that going to change now with Devontae Adams on the field with him?
Yeah, but probably not. I mean, the other thing that you've probably heard a lot of this year for the lay fan is you're seeing a lot of too high safeties.
Right.
How many times have you heard that this year?
A lot.
The reason teams do that is because so many teams have two really good wide receivers. Right. Where they think about the Eagles with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. You know, think about Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, who's down there in Cincinnati. So a lot of these teams have two really elite wide receivers. So the only way to protect from letting those guys burn you is to cloud both of them. And cloud, that means put a safety over top. And so that's basically cover two. Or if you're going to play man, you got to bracket both of them, which then makes, you know, basically the middle of the field wide open. And so I think what Garrett Wilson has seen is a lot of brackets when in teams are in man, that robber or whoever that other guy who's sitting in the middle of the field is trying to identify him. Or you're seeing a lot of like extra safeties over top of him so he can't go on deep routes. It disincentivizes a quarterback for throwing it to him. Like if a guy is one-on-one and say Aaron Rodgers trying to, you know, get one to Garrett Wilson, sees the back of the defender's helmet, he's open. So he's going to throw it to him. But if he sees the back of a defender's helmet and then a safety over top of him, the ball's not going to him. And so there's a nuance to how this works when you have one good wide receiver, but when you have two, it gets really hard to do that consistently.
So this may surprise you. As a Jet fan, I'm very excited to see this in action. I'm excited to see Devontae Adams make his Jet debut. But there's one other thing I'm very excited about. A few days ago here on Evan and Tiki, I bent my knee. I went down on one knee, and I asked a favor of a long-term friend of mine. That's right. I now call him a friend. For a while, he was just an acquaintance. He was just a coworker. But now, he is a dear friend. I asked Positive Tommy to join the New York Jets.
I believe in Positive Tommy.
I asked him to bring his positivity to the Jets. There is no franchise in this town that needs it more than him. Tommy said yes. So for the very first time on this football/baseball Friday, and I'm asking a lot from him because I'm asking him to do this in the midst of a Met playoff game in which Francisco Lindor just missed a two-run home run by a couple of inches. I'm asking Positive Tommy for the first time ever to give us his positive sermon on the New York Jets as they get set to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's an easy one. So after Monday night's loss, the negative Jets would have just tucked their tails and went quietly into the night. But not the positive Tommy Jets. They went out and they traded for a Hall of Fame wide receiver. And I've heard this past his prime. He is still very much in his prime. And he's back with his new buddy. And on top of that, Mike Tomlin is giving you an early Christmas gift. Russell Wilson, who's washed. Jets easy Sunday night. Prime time under the lights. There won't be a lot of towel waving. Sorry, Snoop Dogg. The Jets take care of business on Sunday night. And as I say that, I love you, Evan. Thank you for calling me your friend.
No, of course. I mean, of course.
What I'm so do you feel positive?
I do. It actually kind of worked. What I'm really excited about is that part
What are
of
you chuckling about over there?
Why are you laughing?
I just need to explain for the audience.
Don't explain anything. Let the magic happen. Do you really need to over-explain Tommy's magic?
Because Tiki needs to know this. Tiki?
I can see it.
As Tommy finished his positive Jets mojo...
I can see it. Francisco Lindor hit a line drive to right field, and Francisco Alvarez goes to third. And I see you guys reacting.
But he missed a home run by that much twice in that swing, and I could just feel the positive Met energy for positive Tommy being sucked into the vortex of the positive Jets.
Well, why? Why would you say that?
What you're saying, Sean, is that the positive Tommy Jet energy is being manifested into positive Tommy.
Lindor was so close on two swings to a home run, and I can't help but think if positive Tommy was more focused on the Mets and not the positive Jets, for the first time ever, I'm raising my hand.
It would be 5-1?
Yes. Tiki, I'm raising my hand.
I feel you.
And I'm apologizing. I was a naysayer. I was a non-believer. I now do believe in the powers of positive Tommy. And that, I cannot believe what I just saw my own eyes. He's focused too much on the Jets. So and it has cost the team in Queens dearly.
I think you need to relieve him of that duty.
Relieve him of what duty?
No, he shouldn't. You know why?
No. You relieve him of that duty until Sunday.
So he can't be positive Tommy for the Jets until the Mets season is over?
Right. So if the Mets season ends today, then you can release him on your RICO.
I can release him on my RICO.
But you need to release him RICO too.
You need to release him if it doesn't end today. I mean, so it goes on. You can release him on a RICO. But right now, you need to release him so the Mets can win.
You guys are something.
I'm just
else,
telling
man.
You, dude. No, you got
to
do it.
Listen, I want the Mets to win more than anything right now. They're down 3-1 in the National League Championship.
Then release Tommy from his sacrilegious Jet.
I know,
fandom,
but on
cheering positive.
Yeah, but on what planet is him being positive about the Jets somehow causing negativity for the
New
York Mets?
Evan, he shouldn't be positive for the Jets. He's a Giants fan.
Damn right, T.
Release him. Right. Release him so your Mets can win. And we can maybe have to talk about them next week as well.
Yeah, Evan.
Because if not, if they die over the weekend, you finish it up on a RICO, we're going to talk about them for 3 seconds on Monday.
That's a good
so
point.
Release him right now.
But Teak, how could I preach positivity and then I see this sad
you don't have to preach
fan
it.
Base?
You've
of
already
Jet
preached
fans.
It. You don't have to preach it.
But Jet fans need me, Teaky.
Okay,
they do.
Okay, if the Mets lose today, or because they'll probably be on by the time we're off. If the Mets lose today, he can re-sign you up on a RICO.
That's right.
All right. I've made a decision. All right, I just had a meeting with the positivity committee.
Yeah,
and we have announced that. By the behest of Tiki Barber and Sean Morash, for right now, we are releasing Tommy Lugauer from his positive Jet fandom for now.
Use it for the Mets, Tommy.
Yeah.
Okay. Use it for the Mets.
And so then I have a question. Hold on.
I want to hear you. Maybe that's why he sounded so passive and like timid, because he's trying to divide his loyalties between the Jets and the Mets. And that first time we heard him, it's like he didn't believe. I didn't believe a word that came out of your mouth, Tommy. So I think we need a do-over of you being positive Met right now.
So what are the rules here? I am on the air tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
You can only be assigned by Evan. So you can't do nothing. You can't say, I'm positive Tommy with the Jets. You can't do it. Evan can do it.
Yes, I think Tiki's right. I think for now you can just talk about the Jets the way you honestly feel. Whatever, that's
fine.
Okay,
they're a dumpster fire.
They're a dumpster fire. Once the Mets season once the Mets season is over, which could happen, you know, very soon, you will then be brought into the coalition of Jet positivity.
Going back to the original Ghostbusters, I could see it in Evan's eyes. He didn't want to acknowledge it. He saw what me and Tiki saw.
Well, no, you know what I saw?
Which was the moment he went into positive Jet.
It's not that the Mets would have hit a home run if Tommy wasn't positive towards the
Jets. They would have at least scored a run.
That's not even my point. My point is, I don't want to risk anything, okay? The Mets are playing for their lives, and as long as their lives are alive, I will allow Tommy to only be positive towards the Mets and will save him.
So you whitewashed everything that happened this week. You never asked me to be positive about the Jets. That never happened.
No, that happened. You're just released from it for right
so
now.
So any bad juju is now gone.
Yes.
Okay. Correct. So now we're back to just being positive about the Mets. But don't worry. In a couple of weeks, maybe tonight, then you'll come over to the positive Jet fandom.
And a sticky situation, because we haven't given our official NFL picks yet, which we'll do in next hour. Now what does Tommy do with that game?
He doesn't know what to do with the picks. He's going to be so confused. Let's go to Kendrick in Suffern. What's up, Kendrick?
Gentlemen, as part of that positive Tommy coalition decision process the other day, I feel like Tommy has developed into the Mick Foley of WFAN, where he could be Dude Love, Cactus Jack, and Mankind every commercial break. Just pick a new alter ego.
That's true. That's a good comparison, yes.
So he could be Loogie, Positive Tommy, the producer, whoever he wants to be. But just continue to produce the positive vibes. That's all I ask. I actually called for two things here. One, with the Mets. Evan, I want to give you something here. If we can handle business tonight, and I told you the Mets were in a two-game series with the Dodgers, and game one was a bullpen game for the Dodgers, what odds would you give us in winning the two-game series?
I would give the Mets, it's a great question, Kendrick, and it's why if they can win game five, and they've got a long way to go, they lead 3-1 in the top of the third inning, I'd feel pretty good about my chances. Like, I would. I wouldn't say it's 50-50. I'd give the Mets a good 30% chance. And by the way, I'd sign for that. A 30% chance against a Dodger team like that? Because you're right. You're talking about Sean Manaea. And look, there's a fear with Manaea that he's just going to run out of gas. It's been a long season. He's been great. It wouldn't surprise me if Sean gives you that one clunker. But the Mets are facing the Dodger bullpen. Maybe they can score runs against them like they did in Game 2. And then, Game 7 is an absolute crapshoot. You know, the Mets couldn't figure out Walker Buehler the first time they saw him. Maybe they would the second time. So I would feel pretty decent about my chances in L.A. if the Mets can win Game 5. But it's one step at a time, and it reminds me of something the great Boomer Esiason says incessantly. One period, one shift, 1 minute, one power play, one segment, one show. Isn't that what he says?
Something along those lines. I think you were a little out of order.
Oh.
Also, how can Sean Manaea avoid that problem, Evan?
Oh, God. Some lame line is coming. No. Just be ready for it.
He could be like Tiki Barber and drive electric, because then he wouldn't run out of gas.
Whoop, whoop.
Oh, my God.
See what I did there, Tiki?
Always on charge.
Tiki from Always Manhattan to charge. Buffalo. He's a little pound, bro.
Appreciate you, homie.
That's something else.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.